Glory to God. Amen. Scripture said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And He don't want you to say ka-ching, ka-ching in response to that. Although he can bless you materially, He has, I dare say, and He will continue to do that. But He's interested in us understanding the reason for any blessing that He grants is because of His favor, turning His face toward us. And that was called, that first, this song that was just sung was the Aaronic. Aaron was told by Moses, the Lord wants you to tell them that He says this to them. So Aaron just brought it. He was just the messenger, like I'm going to try to be here today. But it was God's heart and will and purpose to bless and keep His people. What a joy it must have been for them to hear that the God we serve is distinctly, directly interested in blessing and keeping us. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't know about you, but that's the best news I've heard all morning long. And I was listening to good Christian stuff all the way in here. But that takes the cake for me. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Keep us from the evil one. All right. You can be seated for a moment, and we're going to have some music along with the message, I pray, today. If I can... you got it already. That's why I couldn't find it. I told Pamela, I said, now that I'm getting to the age and stage that I am, people are watching me for every sign of old-timer's disease. That's forgetfulness, if you don't know what that is. God loves us today. Gave His Son for us. I want to give you the scripture up front before we bring this song to you today. There's a reason for God responding to our faith when we look to Him and pray to Him. By the way, faith is not released by simply standing on the Word. I've heard that, and we have what we call Word churches, as if they're exclusive, the only ones that have a Bible and able to delineate it to anybody. They call themselves a Word church. Everybody else is just, you know, we just miss it out. Well, I happen to have the Word of God here in my possession today, not only in my hand, but in my heart. And this is a Word church as well, but it's not a Word church in terms of, my name's Jimmy. I can use him as an example and not get beat up today. Okay. My name's Jimmy. I want all you give me. The blab it, grab it, you know, name it, claim it group. We're Word churches. Everybody else don't matter. Souls don't matter. Evangelism don't matter. Missions don't matter. The coming of Jesus don't matter, because we're just going to get rich and be happy here. That's not what a Word church is. It's all of the Word of God, not just the parts of it that appeals really to the indulgence of our flesh. There's no interest in making a disciple unto Jesus, because it doesn't begin with self-indulgence. It begins with denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and following His example. And there's nothing further from His example than people ever getting and never having enough. Amen? Now, I want to get back off of that track for a moment, just let you know we have a Bible, and you don't have a theologian here today. You just have a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. However, I have been studying from this book for over 50 years. And not only have I been studying it, but I've been trying to apply it to every circumstance and situation in my life. Amen. I've learned some things from the Word of God. And what I see in it and God shows me in the Scripture, I just want to share that with you. I don't want to preach from up here down to you. I just want to get down here with everybody. I asked one Sunday, I sat in a chair, and it was very comfortable sitting in the chair. And I thought, you know, Jesus sat down and taught them. And I thought, how many people in my background of Pentecostalism would have walked out on him? Because there was no healing line. There was no one getting prophesied or prayed over. No miracles were occurring. There was no Jericho march around the building. No one was shouting and just, you know, under the presence of God. So the average Pentecostal would have walked out on Jesus. Amen. We are Pentecostal background, but I dare say we're not average. How many know you get quite a bit of the Word of God if you come here? More than just emphasizing the charisma, the gifts of the Spirit, and we operate in those gifts as the Lord moves in the service. And we welcome the gifts of the Spirit. But we don't just come here for the charismata. That's the gifts of the Spirit. We come here for the Word of God and the worship of God. Hallelujah. And to be able to trust the Lord and obtain that blessing and apply that blessing in our life. The scripture said the blessing of the Lord itself, not what it produces, but the blessing, which means the favor of God, it maketh rich. What it means is you don't just have a full meal barrel because of the blessing. You have a meal barrel that even if it's a time of famine, and it looks like there's only enough for a couple of people, it lasts through the famine. Yes, sir. Because of God's blessing on it. Amen. I'd rather have a almost empty meal barrel with the blessing. Yes. Than to have a full one. Amen. Without the blessing. Come on. Because when, and we're in a, I don't want to scare you, but I want to get you into faith. But I just want you to know, without God's blessing, America, we can't stand on our own. There's no leadership on political parties that can save us and keep us and give us real security. Particularly, and I'm not even talking about the nations that hate us and want to destroy us. I'm talking about diseases. I'm talking about things. You know, we came through a time when it looked like millions were dying. It wrecked the financial systems worldwide. And we needed help from above. We needed God to step in. I'm going to say something. I don't believe it was the vaccine itself that did the big job. I believe it was God stepping in because of intercession. By the way, that song became a song sung around the world by people that were not part of the ancient Israel claim to that, but Christians and people that didn't even know the Lord realized if there is a God in heaven, we need His help. Amen. Because man had reached his limit and it's ongoing, and unless something intervenes, that calls for a miracle to occur. We need a miracle. I want to declare to you today, we have a miracle working God. I define miracle different than a lot of other people. Amen. Because I define it as simple as you can break it down, but it's as accurate as anyone else can explain it. A supernatural intervention in the normal course of human affairs. If God does anything in response to our faith and our prayer, it is qualified as a miracle. Can you say amen? And there are those that nothing is happening in response to prayer. So they're saying the days of what? This is within the church, not the world out there. Amen. They're saying the days of miracles are over. The gifts of the Spirit are no more. When that is perfect is come, that is in part shall be taken away. Amen. We see in part, we know in part, but when that is perfect, and in their definition of perfect, it's when we have the Bible. If we have a Bible without a God that the Bible reveals to us, We have a book. And the book don't work miracles. God works miracles. Amen. This book tells us about this God and how to obtain His blessing and how to get a prayer answered. This book tells us how to come to know this God. And you were very interested in the service we had about knowing God. And I didn't shake your hand yet. I don't want to miss you today. Thank you for your interest. What did God give me? He gave me the Word of God. But there was more happening at Plant High School than just me giving them a lesson in Christian theology. What was happening was the Holy Spirit, who is called the Spirit of Truth, He was moving among those young men and women in that classroom. The anointing breaks the yoke. It pierces through the darkness. There's something about the Spirit that nothing, we could have a fog machine up here and start making, we could play a particular song and there would be fog coming up. And we could have Marilyn doing somersaults. That would be a miracle. Hallelujah. And it would be highly entertaining. I myself would come out and sit out here with you guys just to watch that. Fist bump over here. You ever seen her do a somersault? Oh, okay. I'm just saying. Half of one? I don't even know what that looks like. Amen. You know the difference? We want the person. We need the person and power of the Holy Spirit. We definitely need the Word of God. But we need God Himself. There's no substitute for Him. There's no one like Him. And to know Him, brings a faith and trust in prayer that He responds to. They that come to God, understand this faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11. They that come to God must, it's an imperative, believe that He is, that He's real, that He exists, that He's not some figment of religious imagination, that our God is real. Amen. He's invisible, but He's real. He moves. He responds to prayer when it's prayed in faith and trust. But it's not just standing on the Word. If you don't have a prayer life, you can't say, I'm trusting God. Amen. When you don't even believe in Him enough to pray to Him. Prayer is a gauge of your true trust. When you get to where you're not praying, it means you're not trusting, because you're saying prayer doesn't do anything. Prayer is always answered for a Christian that believes. As your faith be, so be it unto you. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray. See, people avoid relationship with God, and that's essential to prayer. Amen. Is a relationship with Him. We just want to claim His Word. I'm just standing on the Word. I'm quoting the Word. I'm saying the Word. I got it on my refrigerator. I'm claiming that promise, this promise, that promise. You got to get into knowing the person that made the promise. Amen. They that come to who? To God, must believe that He is, and that's not enough. The Bible said, you say you believe in God, the devils believe. They know it's true. They know it more than we know it. Amen. Because their reaction to that truth is they tremble. I looked up the Greek word for tremble. And it means to have your skin crawl. It's like a big old spider jumping on you. I'm saying that for me, because my skin would crawl. and my feet would move. And even, you say, Brother Venable, that big brown spider eats roaches. You should have him in your house. No, he's not coming in my house. I will kill the roaches. I don't need a spider to do it for me. Particularly one of them great big ones. And it's, you say, well, he wouldn't hurt you. He's not poisonous. It's not what he would do to me. It's what I would do to myself if he got on me. Amen? I mean, that's me. Devils believe and tremble. To have your skin crawl, to shudder, it goes back to Greek words that are strong about a fear that visibly moves you. And they tremble. Let me tell you what Paul said about his relationship with God to the church. He said, I was with you in weakness. Now, it's an amazing thing when you're not supposed to confess weakness. And yet it's that very confession that brings the blessing of the Lord and the grace of God. When I'm weak, what happens? Well, if you're always strong, you don't qualify for grace. And if you don't qualify for grace, you better be Superman, Batman, and any other man, superhero. Because you're not going to make it without the grace of God. And God never intended you to make it without the grace of God. I was with you in weakness. What? The Bible said in the book of Isaiah, to them that have no might, he increases strength. Oh, but I got the Holy Ghost. I'm full of power. Well, good for you. Unless you confess your weakness. Tongue-talking people can fail God. Mighty anointed people can fail and do fail God without Him and His grace supporting them. Samson, when the Spirit of God came on him, there was nothing like him. He was a man used supernaturally when the Spirit of God came on him. But you take the Spirit of God off of him, he was as weak as anybody else. Can you say amen? And in his fleshly weakness, he gave in to the flesh. And it canceled and short-circuited the blessing in his life. Amen. And he was no longer the great defender of Israel. Amen. And they made sport of him. They took him in the temple of the false gods of the Philistines. And they had him at a gristmill type of thing, grinding corn like an ox would do. Day in and day out, this champion of God. And listen, when he was slain and when Saul was slain, how could this be? We see it in anointed ministers and ministries today. How can that person fall? And how can I hope to stand if someone that has that kind of ministry, that kind of anointing, how can I hope to stand? Well, you become weak enough to stay dependent on the grace and support of God. That's how you stand. It's when a man says, behold, I stand. He'd better take heed, the scripture said. You're on dangerous ground when you present yourself as some big shot, all-powerful preacher or Christian. And there are people that you have met that present themselves just that way. God showed me, God, and yes, He does. I asked God to speak to me today so He could speak through me today. And I believe He is at this very moment. But I do not present myself with some kind of super anointing that no one can attain. But I'm up on this level and poor, poor Mike, he's way down here on this lower echelon. When they get to where they don't admit their weakness. And they don't look to... You know what Jimmy Swaggart said after he fell? He said, I had anointed brethren, anointed men around me that I could have went to and privately told them about my weakness and areas that I was tempted in to ask for prayer. You want to hear what he said? This is what he said. But I was Jimmy Swaggart. What would they think of me if I divulged to them that I have an area of my life that I'm tempted in? When I have the answer for everyone, I've got a Bible, and I've got a commentary on the Bible. I've got all the answers. I've got an anointing on me that's reaching the world. What if I admit that I have a weakness? Now, that's what happened to him. And what happened because he did not admit the weakness? What happened to him? Did he fall? Did he do it once and apologize? Or did he do it twice? And once he did it twice, the apology did him no good. It may have with God, because God is a wonderful, gracious God. But people lost their confidence. Amen. And the anointing came to preach. Everyone wants to be like that highly anointed one. You better understand that if that highly anointed one doesn't humble themselves under the mighty hand of God, that exaltation comes from people and not from the Lord. And when people put you on a pedestal, you begin to think of yourself as highly as they have put you. Let me tell you about trusting in man, even anointed leaders other than Christ who never sinned, never will. Never did. Hallelujah. Amen. Cursed. We're after the blessing. But the Bible said, cursed be the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. He will be like the heath in the desert. Picture a tumbleweed out in the desert place that has no fruit, that lives in a dry places. That lives in just dryness, no fruit, no moisture. Moisture turned to drought. But blessed is the man. Oh, by the way, and said he will not see when the good comes. He's so far from God. He can't see any hope, any future, any good. There's deep depression in those who trust in man because they're going to be disillusioned. They're going to be disappointed. And I had people, when some of these big shots failed, I had people come to me and say, why did God let that happen? God didn't fail them. They failed God. But you see how high we have placed them. We put them on the pedestal. And that promotes within any of us pride. And what happens when we walk in that pride, even spiritual accomplishments? God resists the proud, gives grace to the humble. To them that hath no might, he increases strength. To them that hath no might, I remember when I got the baptism in the Holy Ghost and I was aware that this is a power gift. I got the power in me, and I did have the power in me. But just being able to speak in other tongues and then to interpret, that didn't mean that Bobby, Robert, not Reverend anybody, a Christian that needs grace to support me and him to help me to overcome temptation, Temptation is real. It comes in a lot of different ways, but it always comes. Every man is tempted. James chapter 3, I believe, somewhere. Read the book of James, you'll run across it. Good way to get to it. Let no man say, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, and that includes the greatest preachers that have ever lived or are living today, is tempted when he's led away of his own lust and enticed. Lust, when it's conceived, when we give into it, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. That chain of relationship and fellowship is broken. And without him helping us, all we have is our anointing and our gifts. And they may stay for a season, like they did on Samson. But eventually the man will fail. The woman will fall. And we who have put them on that pinnacle and that pedestal, we will be disappointed and disillusioned. And if the devil has his way, you'll be disappointed and disillusioned in God. And not the person. And that shows that we put the person and our trust in the person ahead of the God that we're supposed to be trusting in. We come under the curse and lose the blessing. Cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm. He'll be like the heath in the desert, because people will fail you. Oh, and before you just get proud of the fact that, you know, people fail me, but I never fail anybody. Hello? Without God's grace and mercy, you will fail people. And so will I. There are times I talk about my health that God's given me. Now, that hadn't made me stop aging yet. I've been desperately... What was it, Frank and Ernest in the funny papers? The one guy... He's pressing his belly button. He's pressing his belly button. Anybody got a belly button? Well, in the funny papers, he's pressing. You found it? You actually found it? You must have an innie. I've got an Audi. I don't have to hunt mine. You don't know about innies and Audis. One of them sticks out. One of them's okay. One of them got lint in it. The other one just don't even have to worry about belly button lint. You know what I'm talking about. You got an innie? Oh, let's don't even talk about belly buttons. Well, let's get back to the funny paper. He's pressing his belly button, and I don't know if it's Frank says to Ernest or Ernest says to Frank, but he says, why are you pressing your belly button? He said, belly button? I thought that was an age reset button. Wouldn't it be great? Well, where would you put it? With what I know right now, I think I would go back to 30, old enough to be taken seriously, but knowing what I know now, I would do something so different. I would put out some things that I had put up with. Thank you for the amens. I said I would put out some things that I put up with back then, because I would know this is not God. Amen. And it's wrong. Yes, sir. And it's trying to do harm to God's people and God's servant and God's work. And I should have put it out instead of putting up with it and almost breaking under the load. I'm not a reed shaken in the wind now. I'm not here to play games. Amen. I'm not here to win. I hope I can have friends. I would love that, but I don't count on it for my victory, my peace, my fulfillment, and my joy. Amen. Because I don't want the curse. I want that blessing. Amen. 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 I don't want to offend you. I wish I could. You know, the Bible says, as much as lieth within me, everything that's in me, be at peace with all men. I would love to have that relationship with everybody I meet. But Jesus did not achieve that. Can you say amen? And I'm certainly not on that level. I do not believe that I can achieve what God has called me to accomplish and be at peace with everybody. Sooner or later, you're going to find fault in me. I've already found fault in y'all. I don't have to wait till later. Amen. We're all faulty. Amen. There's no big me and little you in here. We all need some help. We all need some hope. And everybody in this room needs to qualify for that blessing. Because the favor, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich. And He adds, this is the good news, He adds no sorrow with it. I love the blessing on giving in Malachi. Yeah, oh, here we go. We're going in the offering. Don't get upset just yet. This is about more than money. Malachi, before we ever get to talking about an offering in Malachi, how many know there's a first chapter before you get to the third chapter? And a second chapter in between. So if you want to put the third in context, you don't start with the third chapter. You start with chapter one, where God says, if I'm a father, where is my honor? Honor the Lord, the scripture said, with the first fruits of all of thine increase. Then the blessing comes into play. But it doesn't start with a financial transaction or a hundredfold. I'm gonna give you 10 if you give me 100. I'm gonna give you 100 if you give me 1,000. I'm gonna give you 1,000 if you give me 100,000. How many did that work out like that for? I would mortgage my house, hire my wife out to clean kitchens to get enough money to have it put into that kind of guaranteed return. Forget the stock market, man. Just keep rolling it over. And yet, Christians jumped into that as hungry to be like the world in terms of material blessing. The Church of Laodicea completely replicated in the 21st century church. There's a blessing on giving. Give, and it shall be given unto you. And it's a lavish blessing. Good measure, shaken together, pressed down, and running over, men shall give unto your bosom. Does that mean everybody that gives anything is going to become filthy rich? Like the t-shirt I saw, I'm stinking filthy rich. Then down at the bottom it said, well, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. Did you get that? You can tell her when you get home. That's the way it's supposed to work. Be quiet in church and husband tell her. You didn't receive that, did you? I didn't think so. Well, it is in the Bible. I'm just telling you. I love the Lord today. I'm glad you still come to church here, because I don't fit into that group of people. I am filled with the Holy Spirit. I am anointed of God. God called me to preach. I didn't get into this for a vocation. I had a good career with Tampa Electric. If I'd stayed with them, I would have more time than Terry. And he has a house on a lake with a boat and a dock. And she's sitting in a rocking chair waiting for him to bring the fish in so she can cook them. I could have retired top tier with Tampa Electric. But there are people that would not be in heaven if I didn't walk away from my career, get my eyes off the material and the physical, come and live in a house behind the church. I didn't have to humble myself where our church was. It was very humbling to be there. Where did I park? Parking used to fill up, but there's one place that pastor parked Oh, Brother Venable, did you have a sign that says pastor only? Nobody parks there but the man of God. No, it was by the big green dumpster behind the church. And you, it wasn't just because it's a dumpster. That's humbling enough. But people that had caught fish in the Hillsborough River, cut off their heads and tails and gutted them, they took all of that mess and threw it in our dumpster. And there was flies like the locust that invaded Israel around that dumpster. And stink in the summer. Can you imagine all those fish heads in that dumpster? And that's where I parked. And I got out on Sunday morning saying, Lord, bless this service. We're going in the name of Jesus, trusting you to bless this service. Not only that, but while I was parked back there by the dumpster, a thunderstorm came one night, and an old oak tree that was growing back there, a limb came out of the oak tree, big oak tree. I had a car I had just bought, some kind of Mercury. It wasn't a fancy car. It was the cheapest car they made. But anyway, guess what happened to the pastor's car? The limb fell on top of my car and mashed it completely down. I'm so glad I wasn't in it. I'm short enough. Can you say, man? I don't need that kind of thing happening to me. But you know what I had? In spite of all the things that humbled me, people saying I won't go down into Sulphur Springs, I don't care how good the service is, I go to that church. That's not, makes me think of the River Jordan. Yeah. Remember the guy with leprosy? He was a general in the army, and he had leprosy, and he had a little servant girl that was a Jew, and she saw him, all of his fame, all of his fortune, all of his rank, all of his respect. A man that was dying with leprosy. One thing that happens with leprosy is not just what's happening to you, but people are not allowed to interact with you. People tell you to keep a distance from them. He's isolated. He's alone, and he's being eaten up with leprosy. And a little servant Jewish girl said, there is a prophet down there in Israel, and he knows God. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Can you, not just a God, but the God. Hallelujah. And if you go down there, he can heal. He can call on God and you'll be healed of leprosy. Wow, God was very famous. I said God was famous among his people. He was famous for what he is and what he does. Hallelujah. He wasn't just a figment of theology. He meant a man's imagination. He was the living, breathing, listening, lifting, holy, mighty, loving, kind, covenant-keeping God, that when they call on him, he listened and he came through. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's a God in Israel. Woo! And there's a prophet that knows him. So he goes down to the prophet's house. He knocks on the door. He presents himself with leprosy. Says, I need help from your God. I've heard that your God can help me. And the prophet knows that in his heart there's something keeping God from helping. Pride. And you want to see how it came out and became visible? The prophet already knew what was in his heart, but we all saw what he said when the prophet gave him a simple thing to do by faith and obedience to God. Go and dip 3 times in the River Jordan. And he said, Jordan? 7 times, I'm sorry. Yeah, he wouldn't even go for 3, but it was 7. God's perfect number. Thank you. Keep me on target here. 7 times. walk around Jericho, seventh time when it all happened. In the River Jordan, listen to this. You're in that condition and you still won't humble yourself so God can help you out of pride. Are there not more honorable rivers? More famous rivers? Cleaner rivers than this old muddy Jordan? Evidently, it was probably when it would come over its banks, it became very muddy. And I got to, or in other words, I'm in desperate need, but it's got to be in a way that I don't have to humble myself. You see the pride in it? I don't want to humble myself. I'm willing to dip in the river of my choice. People want to get healed, but they don't want to humble themselves. They want to get help, but they don't want to humble themselves. Because to humble yourself, you're going to have to crucify something where pride resides right here and right now, waiting for you to let it manifest. And that's your flesh and mine. It's in there. Oh, Brother Venable, I'm so humble. You wouldn't believe how. No, I would not. You got that right. I wouldn't believe how humble you are when you're trying to declare unto me your humility. I'll only believe your humility when you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, submit yourself to the holy word of God, and begin to get serious about your walk with God and crucify your flesh so pride can't manifest and keep God from blessing you. Amen. Hallelujah. If you don't do that, pride will rise up again and again and again. I'm too proud to humble myself. We had people came to our church because of the anointing and the recognition of the power and presence of God. But their friends got them to leave because they said, and a lady told me this, you're not going to that church, are you? When you could be going to this church with us. This church has prestige, you see. In fact, the guy that came to our church because he heard a tape, he would have never dared walk in the door in Sulphur Springs. But he heard a tape, recognized the anointing, and he said, where is that church? Somebody told him, and he came, and he stayed for a season. But he was under pressure because he came from a church with prestige. Let me tell you about Jesus while we're at it. Boy, we're almost done and we just got started. But listen, let me tell you something about Jesus. What did they say of him, the most anointed man that ever lived? He was God incarnate, and on top of that, he had God's anointing on him as a man. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. But what did they say of him because of his background? He's born in a manger. He's born where cows and ox and sheep and animals come to eat whatever slop or anything they put out for them to eat. They had to clear. The manger was like a table. Actually, manger doesn't mean what you see every Christmas. We're in Christmas in July. They'll be dragging out the manger scenes and the little bitty baby Jesus is pretty soon. Because they want to gear you up to buy stuff. Christmas in July. Doesn't feel like it to me. Tampa Electric is saying, it ain't Christmas. Run that air conditioner. I'll prove it to you. But you know what manger means? We picture the manger scene. It's pristine. It's got hay in it that's just right. And the little baby's just as clean as a pin. The word manger meant table. Flat top. High enough. It could be wood, it could be stone, but they just dumped the food on it. The animals came eat off of it, and that's where Jesus was laid. They probably got some fresh straw, but listen, something that there was a stink, there was a stench, it was unsanitary. It was in a little town that the only claim to fame it had, Bethlehem. Thou Bethlehem, Bethlehem, city of bread. They had bakers that baked and they took and sold their wares in the prestigious city. But this is just a little city of bread, inconsequential city. But out of these shall he come. Hallelujah, that's going to rule the nations. Oh, you talk about a resume. He did not have it for being anything special or anything great. Oh, by the way, while we're talking about that, we emphasize the kings, the magi that recognized him as king, the new king and the Messiah and all of that. But what about the first people that God sent the angels to tell about where he was and who he was? They were shepherds keeping their sheep. If you want a blue-collar job that doesn't bring you respect, that is hard, that you stay out in the field with the sheep, you eat with them, you sleep with them, you have the smell of the sheep upon you and on the soles of your shoes. Krish! Amen? It's shepherds. Why? Why is God always trying to help us deal with the desire to be recognized as something so great and big? Because he knew that there was an angel in heaven that was one of the most beautiful angels in heaven. He was an archangel. He led the praises. The Bible said he walked in the coals that are at the altar in the presence of God. Other angels had wings. They had to cover themselves with them to be close to it. This angel was right in the direct presence of God. And by reason of his beauty, the devil was, sin made him ugly. But he doesn't appear ugly. If you're looking for this ugly horror movie Halloween figure, you got the wrong devil. Amen. His name was Lucifer, which meant the light bearer. Praise God. Pipes were in him. He was created. This angel would blow you away, literally, with those pipes. It's like a pipe organ in his body. Wow. He led the praises in the presence of God, and because of his beauty, by reason of his beauty, that God made him beautiful, but by reason of his beauty, he was lifted up and said, I want to be like the Most High. I want to sit on the throne, and I want the praises. Pride made a high-ranking angel the devil that we know today. And yet we tolerate it. You know what it produces? Stubbornness. Pride doesn't want to bow. Pride does not want to bow. That's why we have a comeback. Many times when the word hits us, because the flesh rises up. You don't know what I've been through. You don't know what I'm going through. I don't know what you're going through. But I know who wants to go through it and take you through it and give you victory in spite of it. But you're going to have to humble yourself and admit your weakness, your mistakes, the faults in your own flesh to get that grace and help that you need. And you've got to humble down to do that. And if you don't do it, you will fail again and again and again. And here's what you will do. You will accuse God of unfaithfulness. And now the devil has you where he wants you, because he's broken your faith in God and got you over in a stubborn resistance to the conviction that would cause you to humble yourself under his mighty hand, so he could what? Exalt you. When? In due season. When would that become? Amen. when He decides that that exalting of you will not hurt you, but rather harm you. Be careful of people exalting themselves through their understanding of Scripture, their revelations. The Apostle Paul countered all of that. He said, without the grace of God, I'm nothing. I'm no one. The things I once counted gain to me that produced the pride, religious pride in him. What were they? The things I once counted gain. He said, I was a Jew of the Jews. Of the tribe, you can follow my lineage. I'm a covenant man. Of the tribe of Benjamin. I was circumcised the eighth day, dedicated from my birth. The priest circumcised me as part of the covenant children, a sign of the covenant. The eighth day according to the law. And while we're talking about the law, here it comes. Are you ready to see the pride for yourself? I am blameless. Somebody say, liar, liar, pants on fire. Oh, go ahead and say it. Liar, liar, pants on. Oh, I don't want to call Paul a liar. Well, he lied. He wasn't perfectly keeping the law. You love God with all your heart. You'll quit loving yourself so much. Amen. Chirp. Where's that cricket? It got so quiet, my wife almost shut down. Said, it must be over. I'm shutting down. You'll never deal with it. You'll stay stubborn. And God will keep resisting. And somebody's going to win this tug of war with your flesh. Either you're going to deal with it, or God's going to keep resisting. I need that blessing. I need Him to turn His face toward me and not say, I can't stand that attitude, Robert. I need Him to lift His countenance upon me. I need that. I'm desperate for it. I'd love your approval, but I'm not going to have it every Sunday and give you the truth from the Word of God. Can you say amen? But I'm going to tell you, this is God loving you. It's not God trying to whack you. It's trying to get you to not oppose yourself anymore. Now here's where I come in. The man of God must be patient, instructing those that oppose themselves. The day of blaming the devil for everything is over. If you ever take responsibility for your walk with God, you can't keep blaming the devil and you can't keep doubting God. You can't keep quoting Scripture and not obey what it says. You can't do it any longer. It's time to get right. It's time to get real. It's time to deal with stubbornness. If I came to your home for dinner, if you ever invited me, and I came to your home and I walked in your beautiful marble floored living room, if that's what you have. Well, if I walked into your carpet and saw a pentagram drawn on it, and walked into your kitchen and there's a cauldron bubbling and a black cat sitting over in the corner looking mean at me, and there's a book on incantations sitting on the coffee table, I wouldn't eat with you. Come on, amen. I say, I want out of here. This is demon worship. I don't care if you got a cross on your door and a bumper sticker on your car. It's what's in your house that's bothering me. Do you know what the Bible said about stubbornness that pride produces? It's as idolatry. Stubbornness is as idolatry. Haughtiness is as idolatry. Stubbornness is as witchcraft. There are people in this room that wouldn't touch a pentagram, that would not come in the door of a Satan-worshipping church, but they'll be as stubborn as a mule when it comes to obeying the Word of God. your flesh. Pride is intrinsic. Stubbornness is the result of the pride. And unless you crucify it, it will continually rise up. You either put it to death, you either kill it, or it's going to try to kill you. You ought to treat it like a cancer. I had a skin cancer on my leg. I went to the dermatologist. I didn't know it was a skin cancer. It didn't look like one of them real bad things. Thank God it didn't get to that stage. She took a look at it and said, yeah, send it off. Come back and said, yep, I prayed for a good report. God took me through a healing another way. She burnt that thing off. She come in with a, cut it rather. She cut around it. It hadn't spread anywhere. She cut around it. She got it off. I remember her assistant coming in after, and then she cauterized it with like a laser thing. Yeah. Boy, it stunk like burnt flesh. Her assistant came in to dress it, and she said, barbecue. I said, I like her. Amen. That took a lot of the pressure off right then. Who's cooking barbecue? And it's gone. And they got it all. And God healed it. But listen, He took me through, not just from. He did it in another way. Why? Because if I kept getting miracle after miracle at the snap of my fingers, I begin to think, I got such faith and power. Look here, I prayed for that, it happened. I prayed for that person, it happened. I prayed for this, and it happened. I prayed for that, and it didn't happen. I'm saying, what's up? I prayed there would be no problem, and here there is a problem. Why did God take me through instead of from? Come on. To keep me from where the flesh would take me and the devil would tempt me. And that is to have pride in my faith. Can you say amen? Listen to me. I am not God's man of faith and power. I do have faith, and I have the Holy Spirit, so I have power. But I'm not God's man of faith and power. I'm God's man of weakness and dependence. And that's why I have faith and power. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I love Him today. I am so unimpressed with people that try to convince me of their spirituality. Because what they're convincing me is that they have such self-confidence in their walk with God, and they want your respect. Why do they want your respect? Why do they want it? They want it because they want to lord over you. And they will if you let them have that place in your heart and your life. I'm astounded that so many Pentecostal people hear someone talk about a vision or hear them say, God showed me or God told me, and take for granted there's a prophet or a prophetess. No, that's not true. I've seen too many shipwrecked lives of people that had all that. And the problem with having all that, you start thinking you're all that. And here's something going to be hard to swallow, but you need it and I need it. You're not all that. No matter how anointed you are, no matter how many scriptures you can quote, you're not all that. No matter how many visions and dreams you have, you're not all that, because the Apostle Paul had all that, and he declared openly, publicly, I'm not all that. In my flesh, no good thing. I am what I am. By the grace of God. And the reason Jesus is so highly exalted by God, listen to it carefully as we close. First closing, there might be five or six more. Don't get too excited. God is good today. The reason God exalted Jesus above every name that is named. The Bible said, because he considered it not any kind of sin or self-promotion to declare himself to be equal with God. I and my Father are one, God incarnate. But He humbled Himself. Can you say amen? But He humbled, instead of exalting Himself, He humbled Himself. And the devil knew and tried to get that pride in Him to ruin it all, to ruin the perfect sacrifice for us. He took Him to a high place. He showed Him a panorama of the richest cities in the entire world at that time. And He said, it's within my power to give this to you if you will worship me. And Jesus said, no, you keep it. And quoted the scripture about worshiping God and God alone. But the devil wasn't done. He said, here, you know that it took Him to a high place, the edge of a cliff overlooking the temple probably, where He could see, so every eye would be on Him if He jumped off that cliff. Didn't the scripture, now He's using the Bible, didn't the scripture say angels will bear you up in their hands lest you dash your foot upon a stone? Jesus tempted, jump off of here, you'll get people listening to every word you say. They will see a miracle. They will see you, amen, upheld by holy angels that God will send. And Jesus simply said, it is also written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Don't do something foolish in the name of faith. Don't do something to exalt yourself in the name of faith. I've had people that wouldn't admit they were sick so they could call on God to get healed. They wouldn't call for the elders to pray for them when they were sick because they were taught, don't confess it. I'm not sick. What's that coming out of your nose, that green gray stuff with boogers in it? You're not sick. Hot as a firecracker, sweating like a horse. You're not sick. You are sick. You're very sick. You're sick in the head. There's people bought into that. If I don't confess it, it ain't happening. That's hogwash. Remember Jimmy Swaggart? I had men that I could have called to pray for me for my weakness, the area I was tempted in, but he would have had to confess that he had a problem with lust in women. Why should he be ashamed of that? Every red-blooded American man. Somebody give me fist bump. Some man in this room. Oh, you're going to tell on yourself. You better not. No red-blooded American men in the room? He's sitting on his hand. Okay, we got one red-blooded American man over here. This is a tough sermon this morning. Just one. Doesn't mean that you're some kind of pervert. It means you're a human being. And that's where you women have to be responsible. God wired us to look at you and say, woo! Didn't He? So don't exacerbate the problem. Be decent. Temptation's real. God is real. It takes humility and a recognition of that weakness and a declaration of it. Paul said, when I'm weak, then am I made strong. And the things that make me recognize my weakness, the persecutions that I thought was in the way, all of the problems that are befalling me, the perils, he said, I'm going to take pleasure in the things that used to bug me to no end. That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Can you say amen? It's going through those trials that Paul went through. Not living above the circumstances or adjusting them to your convenience by faith. It's allowing God to choose what you go through and how long it takes to get through and what He wants to accomplish in you while He's taking you through. I could have said what a lady said when I was first saved. I could have said, you know something? I believed God and it didn't get healed. Well, I'm just going to go to a faith convention, get my faith built up. I'm going to curse that cancer on my leg. I'm not going to no doctor because that would be a violation of my faith. We went to pray for a lady. She had a cancer on the back of her hand. Maybe it was farm country back way back in the day. Maybe from picking peas, strawberries, whatever. Sun. She had a cancer. It could have been removed, treated, and she could have lived out her days. She refused treatment. I was asked by her, my wife and I were asked by one of her daughters, would you pray for my mother? She will not go to the doctor. Well, see, that cancer is growing this whole time that she's, quote unquote, standing on the word. There's a pride that can come in your faith. If you're so proud that you can't humble yourself and let God choose how He does it and not just say, look, I believe God, I got my miracle. Listen to me carefully. Devil will kill you if you listen to his lies, and he'll try to use the Bible to do it. We walked in that room and the cancer had now that little dime size thing had spread all over the back of the hand. And now there was a stink of that thing coming, a stench. And I thought, Lord, how do we pray? We prayed for her. But the problem was she was too proud. Let God heal her His way, because His way will involve something that keeps us humbly dependent. You don't have to give man the credit. Give God the credit for giving man the knowledge, but don't resist and reject God's way of doing it. Shipwrecked people. People dead before their time. Because they were told it's a lack of faith. And they're told the same thing about their finances. I didn't get the 100-fold. You didn't believe hard enough. Like me. In my mansion behind the gated community. With my entourage and my Bentley. And my helicopter and my jet plane and my money in the bank. You could have it if you had faith like mine. It ain't their faith. It's our foolishness that give them the money. God didn't do that. They don't ask God for it and never mention it. They send the letter to your address. It comes to my address. And who follows them? Pentecostals, charismatics. Why? Because we'd rather be in a healing line or getting a word from the Lord by a gift than a Bible study. We'll line up. I've stood in a line myself with a lot of other Christians till 1 o'clock, and you think I'm... Well, see, we don't have that happening right here. We don't have a major minister. You stuck with me, and we don't have, you know, all of this stuff. It has in the past. But I've stood till 1 o'clock in the morning waiting for the man of God to touch everybody. And we all fell out under the presence of God. There was an anointing there, no doubt. But I know the people that stood in line. I didn't need healing. Back in the day when I first got saved, I was so hungry for God. If somebody said anything, I'm in. God doing anything I want it. Give me some more and some more and some more.
Amen.
And I still want some more, but I'm not standing in line to get it. I found out I've got it in Jesus Christ. You didn't hear me. Ain't nobody got an anointing greater than His. And I'm hid in Christ, in God. That's a great place to be living your life, church. Hallelujah. Amen. That don't mean I wouldn't submit myself to a minister or ministry that God wants me to. But I am not needy. I am not looking for a crumb underneath the master's table. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I have been granted, given, promised, provided children's bread. It belongs to me. It belongs to you. The kingdom is ours because the King is ours. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So how about it? How about your flesh and mine? What are we going to do about that? We're going to pet it? We're going to allow it to continue to cause pride and stubbornness? Let me finish with Jesus. Though He thought it not robbery to be called equal with God, He humbled Himself. How did He do it? He took on Himself the form of a servant. A servant. A servant. I want you to know something. I appreciate everything you've done to help me and Pamela and everything you do to show appreciation. But I come here to serve you. Amen. You may not like what I'm serving up, but I come here to serve. Amen. I want to see you blessed. I don't want to see you hornswoggled or hoodwinked by the devil. I want you to have the genuine, bona fide, authentic blessing. Amen. When you go out and when you come in. When you sit down and when you rise up, when you're in the city and when you're in the field, there will be an evident blessing. Amen. Even when things go wrong, all things will work together. Amen. For good, because you love the Lord and you are the called according to His purpose. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. These blessings will come on you and they will overtake you. Glory be to God. And there's nothing the devil or life or circumstances can do to keep the blessing. He will turn what the devil meant for evil and use it for your good. But you got to be right with Him. Hallelujah. He'll prepare you a table in the presence of your enemies. Oh, by the way, you know what that table was? It was a plateau. And the shepherd told the sheep, wait right here, because I see some holes in the ground. He would go out, and sure enough, he got close to one of those holes, and one of those kind of snakes, some kind of asp, that poisonous snake that could bite the sheep, he'd poke his head up out of that hole. But he had a rod, and he had a staff. And with that rod, he whacked that snake. Conk him in the noggin. He had to go back down his hole, roll up and die. He'd go a little bit further. He's scanning. And he sees behind a rock or a tree, there's a wolf lurking. He said, uh-oh. He sees that wolf. You know what the rod is? It's 48 inches long. It's made out of hard wood. He could throw it and hit something and kill it, or he could use it with his strong right hand. What did God say He would do? Uphold you with the right hand of His righteousness. Praise God. He would go where that wolf was, and He would come at him with that, and the wolf, if he attacked, he was adept at using that to defend the sheep. And once the wolf is run off, and the snake is dying in his hole, He tells the sheep, He prepared the table. He went before us to get the victory so He could give the victory unto us. and to keep us safe from, because we're sheep without a shepherd are in deep doo-doo. Can I say doo-doo in church? I just did. Can you say amen? You understand what I'm saying? You've heard of a lone wolf, and even wolves struggle alone. But you don't hear of no lone sheep. Yeah, that sheep been up there in that mountain for 10 years with the bears and the lions and the snakes and all the critters want to kill it. It has no defense on its own. It's totally dependent on someone to defend it. And the shepherd's commitment, amen, was its defense. And that shepherd defended those sheep, and he prepares a table. You understand, it's not just, oh, I'm going to be eating all this good stuff while my enemies are out there saying, oh, look at Brother Venable, he's blessed beyond measure. Oh, I can't hardly stand to see him blessed. He's getting my goat every day when I see him arriving to church in his mega church in his Bentley. Oh, that's eating me alive. I wanted to see him fail. Well, if you're looking for a Bentley and a megachurch, I have already failed. But if you're looking for me to walk in victory and have the joy of Jesus and know that He's defending me, not only from all of those critters, the devils and demons that want to take me out, but from people's tongues. Every tongue, oh, you got to get this. Let me get this in. This is for me. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment shall be utterly contemned or condemned. He didn't let the dogs bark when they left Israel. He didn't just shut to the mouth of the lion for Daniel. He shut to the mouth of the dogs whilst millions of people left Egypt. So, I've had tongues come against, not tongues. I'm just talking about people just wanting to see us fail, wanting to pick at us, wanting to put us down. I weathered those storms. Amen. If it's keeping me humble. Go ahead and nail me. But I'm telling you, God sent me. And I got to be careful how I say this. 53 years, the devil's been trying through people, through circumstances, and Christian brethren that ain't got no better sense than God gave a billy goat. Yeah, there's some of us out there like that. Not in here. Not in here, right? I mean, anyway, we better move on. They're people crazy. They let the devil use them. Ain't got no better sense than to open their big mouth and let the devil use them. By the way, speaking of discipline and crucifying flesh, the tongue is set on fire of hell. If your flesh is not conquered, your tongue is set on fire of hell. That fallen part of your flesh will manifest through your mouth. Is set on fire of hell, and no man can tame it. You've got to kill it, the flesh. It's going to manifest through your tongue. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If no man can tame it, how do you deal with it? Well, see, most people think, you know, I'm going to make a resolution this Sunday. I'm not going to talk about nobody again. Phooey. If you don't crucify the flesh, oh yeah, you're not going to talk about somebody. You're going to talk about everybody before it's over. I'd like an amen. Amen. Get on the phone. Did you hear what happened to Brother so-and-so? No, I didn't. And I really wish I hadn't heard it and don't want to hear it. But they want you to hear it. They want you to hear every bad thing about every good person. That's the world. And there are bad things about good people that failed. But there's an awful lot of good things and a lot of victory out there that is genuine and authentic. Amen. When I pray for my enemies, I don't pray that fire come down and devour them. I don't pray that God bless me in such a way that they're ashamed they ever said anything against me. I pray God will get a hold of them and humble their hearts. And that they will get an introspect and say, except for the grace of God, what if I was in that position? What if it was me with everybody looking at me? We live in an aquarium. We live in a fish tank. When you stand behind a pulpit, you and your family are in a fish tank. And everybody looks at everything. And that's okay if we can show them Jesus. And not declare ourselves to be anything, but declare Him to be everything. Can you say amen? That's what I come to do. I don't present myself as anything, but I present Him as everything. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to quit. You've been a wonderful audience. Will you stand to your feet? How many this week will take an honest look at yourself and open your heart to the Holy Spirit and do what David did? He didn't want to fail again. He didn't want to lose the blessing again. So he said, search me. Search me and see if there be any unclean way in me, and let me know so I can deal with it and repent of it, because I need that blessing. I must have that blessing. This is why revival, personal and in the body of Christ, does not occur. We're either too spiritual, too proud to humble ourselves. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due season. Let no man speak highly of himself. Let others do that. And when they do that, don't think of yourself higher than you ought. Jesus humbled Himself, took on Himself the form of a servant, and was obedient even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name above every name that is named, of things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, that at the sound of His name, every knee should bow and every tongue confess that He is Adonai. He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Is it worth humbling yourself? And what is your death of the cross? Being a martyr? No, it's crucifying your own flesh and the lusts thereof. Amen? And Paul said, I do it every single day. It's not a one-time thing and you forget it. And here's where it starts. I've got to get this out. Submit. When I say that word, your flesh will either rear or your flesh will acquiesce. It's God's word, submit. Say it with me, submit. We don't like that. We don't like that because that means I'm not in control. God is going to be in control. And I'm going to do what He said instead of what my flesh or the world says. Submit yourself unto God. Resist that. How do you do that? By applying the word if it costs you your way, your will, your flesh. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil. Don't go to a convention telling you your authority over the devil if you're not submitted to God. Because it doesn't start with your authority over the devil. It starts with His authority over you. Is He Lord? Or isn't He? Who rules in your life? Your flesh or your God, your King? Submit yourself unto God. Oh, it's not done. Submit yourself to them that have the rule over you.
Yes, sir.
I stretch my head. I look at some little short reel on YouTube. There's some gal or guy sitting in a car, and all they're going to get is a ticket. And if they don't believe it's fair, they can go to court and fight the ticket. There's lawyers that will go with you to fight the ticket. And what do? They sit there. And the cop says, roll down your window. I'm not going to submit. And the cop says, step out of the car. Lawful command. All you got to do is submit. All you have to do is submit. Come on, lady. Come on, mister. Oh, yeah, you got tattoos on your arm. That's no big deal. He don't care. He got pepper spray. And what's he finally do? Because of that haughtiness and that stubbornness, he busts out the window. He opens the door, grabs your sorry self. And that's your sorry self if you're doing that, right? He yanked you out of the car, throws you on the ground, and you're still being stubborn. You won't even give him your other arm. Ow! That's hurting me. I know my rights. Oh, wait a minute. I thought we had an agreement. I thought at the communion table, you didn't come, amen, to negotiate with God. I thought at the communion table for a Christian, you came to give up your rights and let Him have right to rule you. If He don't have the right to rule, you're not under His rule. If He isn't in control, you and I are out of control.
Amen.
What's it going to cost? What stubbornness always does. Now you've got a parking ticket. You've got resisting an officer. And if you spit on him, he's going to put a bag of mesh thing over it and tie it. He's going to about break your arm to get your hands behind your back and take your sorry hide to jail and put you in a cage where you belong with that attitude.
Amen.
Oh, my goodness. What kind of a church are you in this morning? Is any of this untrue? Is any of this unbiblical? Is there one word that isn't in your Bible verified? Is there anything unbiblical about this?
No.
I'm amazed how people with Bibles believe the Bible, fight for the Bible, stand up for the Bible, quote the Bible until the Bible hits them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Come on, preach it.
Yeah. Submit to those that have authority over you.
For they
watch for your soul. They're not trying to lord over you. They're trying to get Jesus to be Lord of you.
Amen.
So that your soul is never put in jeopardy. If you're a servant, obey your master. Submit. Not with eye service. That's called brown nosing or buttering somebody up or worse things. Amen. But from the heart. If you're in the service, was anybody in the service? I know a lot of people that were. Had two uncles on my wife's side in Vietnam. If you're in the service, you submit to the sergeant, to the lieutenant, to the colonel, to the captain, or you're kicked right out. Because unless there's a discipline in the ranks, there's no army fit to fight on the field. And that's the same with the church.
Yes, amen.
Children, submit yourself unto your parents. One of the signs of the end time is disobedient to parents. It's here. It's all over the place. Wives, we got any wives here? It's okay to raise your hand. It's your turn. Husband, submit yourself unto God.
Yes, amen.
Oh, by the way, as Christians, submit yourself to one another.
Amen.
You have the right to say, Brother Venable, where's that scripture? And I have the right to tell you where it is and to shut up. If it's in the Bible. I said if it's in the Bible. Yeah, not just me. You understand that. I would never tell you to shut up if it wasn't in the Bible. Amen. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as unto the Lord. That means as your service to the Lord. I preached on submission one Sunday, and you want to see where the devil is in people, where the flesh is not subdued? Preach on submission. I got through, and a lady came up, and she walked like this. She walked like King Kong's sister-in-law. Amen. I'm serious. I could tell she's way more a man than I was. Anyway, she walked. She said, I need to see you after the service. I said, okay. And she said, so I went over into a corner of the church, and she came in, and she said, let me tell you something. And I thought, oh, I'm so glad you're not my wife. I mean, my Pamela isn't perfect, but she doesn't do that. Anyway, she said, let me give you a scripture. And I thought, okay, here we go. It's on. In Jesus Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female. I said, you're absolutely correct. In Jesus Christ, there's no difference. But I said, I got a question for you. In your marriage, are you the husband or are you the wife? She said, that's the most ridiculous question I've ever heard. I'm the wife. I said, are you sure? She said, of course. I'm the wife. I said, well, here it is. We're all one in Christ, but we have different positions.
Amen.
In the kingdom.
Yes.
And in our home.
Yes.
And in life.
Amen.
So you're sure? Of course I'm sure. Wives, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. That doesn't mean to put him on that level. It means as your obedient service to your Lord. Become someone that doesn't always want to have the last word and Lord over your husband as a Christian. Thank you for the amen over here. And all the ladies said,
amen.
Thank you. Did he say that? Why don't we preach it? Why don't we teach it? Maybe we'd win some of those boneheaded, stubborn husbands to the Lord.
Amen.
What did it say of the wife? Come on, wife. Stay with me. If he be content to live with you as a Christian and not keep you from going to church and threaten to leave you because you love God, stay with him. Stick it out. Who knows? That because of the chaste conversation of the wife as a Christian wife,
amen,
you might win him to Christ.
Amen.
But he has to see more than your finger in his face.
Amen.
That's 3D. Ooh,
yep.
Ooh. You didn't even have to have your 3D glasses on you. Ooh, ooh. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I've had a good time getting beat up. How about you? It helped me keep my flesh down today. Hallelujah. God has been good. I want the blessing. How many want the blessing? How many need the blessing? How many can't make it without the blessing? Glory be to God. Well, let me tell you, God is bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your circumstances. He's better than you ever thought He was. And when He turns His face toward us, this awesome God is going to take us through everything that we face, keep us safe from the wrath to come, give us victory in our life, and make us a witness to the world.